is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my good colleague Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, the Eurasia Project. We're looking at Budapest. According to the announcements of the White House and the Kremlin, not in the immediate future, postponed. Aspirational. There was the announcement by the president last week and then a phone call between the Secretary of State and the Foreign Minister, Mr. Lavrov and Mr. Rubio, in which they identified that the meeting was not imminent. Anatole, a very good day to you. It looked for a moment that there was something that was going to move the story. Right now, the story is delayed. What do you make of the Budapest mention? Was it Mr. Trump being spontaneous, or is there a game afoot? Good evening to you.
Well, I mean, there's certainly a game afoot. My understanding is that, you know, when it comes to wider security issues between the US and Russia, a good deal of progress has been made. Trump, of course, has already said that NATO, you know, that Ukraine should not be in NATO. And one can well imagine, given the, you know, overall, you know, attitude of the Trump administration, that the US would be quite ready to make some agreement on limiting US forces on Russia's borders if Russia, for example, limited Russian forces in Belarus. But the biggest sticking point now is this continued Russian demand that Ukraine withdraw from the rest of the Donbass, you know, about 30% of Donetsk province, about 2,500 square miles, because Trump has been told by Zelensky, but also from what I gather, you know, from his own security advisors, that Ukraine simply cannot do that, that Zelensky cannot agree voluntarily to give up this territory, and that if he did, the army, the Ukrainian army, would refuse, which would, of course, create an enormous political crisis in Ukraine. But on the other hand, Putin, as I was told, you know, during my journey to Russia earlier this month, Putin has nailed himself so totally to getting the whole of the Donbass for Russia that it is politically impossible, certainly very, very difficult for him to drop that and still to present any peace settlement as a Russian victory. So, you know, we are in the, it has to be said, somewhat grotesque situation that, you know, the whole of European security now hinges on a few ruined or half-ruined small towns in eastern Ukraine.
There's been a pattern to this dance for several years now. Negotiate, not negotiate. And then Mr. Putin mentions the nuclear sword. I think he did it in the last hours, at least according to the Telegraph he did. And then we're back to a sluggish fighting on the front lines, questions about manpower, and we start all over again. Did you see any change in the pattern in this latest observation about what we'll give, what you'll give on the front lines? Any change?
Well, when it comes to the demand for Ukrainian withdrawal, yes, I mean, Putin has abandoned his claim to the whole of two other provinces, Zaporizhia and Kherson. So Russia has scaled back its demand. You know, we don't know for sure what the US has been proposing, but certainly, I mean, the Biden administration was not willing to negotiate with Russia at all, short of complete Ukrainian victory, nor was Ukraine. Now they are. So there has been movement, but there are still, you know, these, you know, very, very, very difficult sticking points.
The sticking points include the Donbass and Crimea and promises about NATO and possible EU membership. And therefore, I'm surrounding it as much as possible. What's to negotiate? Because I don't see anything to trade either side.
No, that's not entirely true, John. Russia has acknowledged Ukraine's right to join the European Union.
Yes.
So that's not an issue. A much bigger question, but that's not a question for Russia, is whether the European Union can actually do it, given, you know, the immense costs of this and the political opposition that you would see from, you know, many, many people within Europe. But that's not a question for the peace process. On NATO membership, Trump has already said that he doesn't think that this will ever happen.
Right.
It's just a question of how to incorporate that, you know, in an actual agreement or treaty. But then there are, there are other issues. There is obviously the question of force limitations. But once again, if it's, you know, very difficult if the Europeans are to be brought in. But if it's just between America and Russia, I can see that being solved. Ukraine will not agree to limit its weapons, but the US can agree not to supply Ukraine with certain kinds of weapons and not to supply Ukraine with the intelligence to use them. So I think there is still a lot of room for agreement, except when it comes to certain things which Ukraine has to agree to. Now, one of them, because that's something that the US cannot itself agree with Russia. Now, one of those is the question of Russian linguistic and cultural rights in Ukraine, which Russia is insisting on. It's been suggested that those could be guaranteed as part of the EU accession process. But in the first place, obviously, it's by no means certain that Ukraine will get into the EU. But secondly, after the European Union totally failed to defend the rights of the Russian minorities in the Baltic states. Everybody in Russia laughs at that proposal. But the biggest one, once again, is this accursed issue of territory, which is, above all, it is political. Putin thinks he has to get this in order to portray an eventual peace settlement to the Russian people as a victory and to defuse what will certainly be the furious attacks by his own hardliners. And for the Ukrainians, as I say, it is politically impossible to give this up. It is worth, of course, there have been so many, tragic such cases in history, but, we're both of a certain age, John. If you had told us 50 years ago during the Cold War, when, you remember Soviet troops were in the middle of Germany, they were 100 miles from the French border. If anyone then had suggested that one day, European security would hinge on what happens to Pokrovsk and Kramatorsk, people would simply have burst out laughing. So, through we have gradually, through one stage and another, been brought to this, absurd, but also terribly dangerous situation.
There is movement in the European Union, however, to do with energy supplies, which was a critical factor early in the war. And right now, with sanctions regime, with the U.S. provision of natural gas, with an agreement about oil, when we come back, what does Mr. Trump have to give that Mr. Putin desires? This is CBS Eye on the World with Anatole Levin. I'm John Batchelor.